The last time I encountered the football crowd, it was at a frat party Ramona and I went to, where I had to break up a fight between my best friend and the football groupie who tried to gouge Ramona's eyes out for making out with one of the offensive linemen. And I had to do it on my own, because the players were no fucking help. They just formed a circle around the girls and wailed out, "Meow," the entire time. Dickheads. Bo's a nice guy, Logan assures me as we hop out the back seat of the taxi after he pays the driver. Seriously, babe, he's good people. How is he even still at Briar? Wasn't he a senior last year? Technically, he's a fifth-year senior. He redshirted freshman year. Good, then that gives him another year to get his shit together, I grumble. His performance last year was disappointing. Were you there for the game where he threw 5 interceptions and 0 TDs? What the hell was that? Logan wags his finger at me. Shame on you, Ms. Football Critic. Ripping on a guy for having an off day? That's harsh. I sigh. Fine, I guess I can cut him some slack. I mean, not everyone can be as good as Drew Baylor, right? Heat flares in his eyes. Your knowledge of college quarterbacks is strangely a turn-on. I think everything is a turn-on for you, I answer, rolling my eyes. Yup, pretty much. We reach the front door and the deafening music vibrating behind it brings a pang of uneasiness. I grab his arm. If it gets too crazy, promise we can leave? But these are your people, remember? Why would you ever want to leave the sweet bosom of your precious football family? His smug grin makes me snicker. Hey, just because I like watching them play doesn't mean I want them to play me. Logan dips down and plants a kiss on my temple. Don't worry. Whenever you want to go, say the word, and we're gone. Thank you. A moment later, he opens the door without knocking, and we step into the lion's den, where I'm immediately blasted with a wave of body heat. God, there are so many people inside the house that the air is on fire. The scent of beer, perfume, cologne, and sweat is so strong it makes my head spin. But Logan doesn't seem bothered by it. He takes my hand and leads me deeper into the mob. In the corner of the living room, a high-spirited game of beer pong is in progress, and the girls standing on one end of the table are in various states of undress. Okay, make that a high-spirited game of strip beer pong. On the other side of the room, the makeshift dance floor is packed with gyrating bodies and surrounded by furniture topped with tipsy, half-naked girls getting their dirty dancing on. We showed up late because Logan had hockey practice, but still, it's only 10 o'clock, which seems way too early for everyone to already be this wasted.
I'll give you $20 if you get up on one of those tables.
Logan rasps in my ear. I punch him in the arm. He flashes his crooked grin and pretends to rub his sore biceps.
Want a drink?
He raises his voice to be heard over the music. Sure, I call back. We wander into the kitchen, which is equally crowded and equally loud. Logan swipes a rum bottle from the counter, pours 2 plastic cups, then dumps some Coke in them to sweeten the deal. I sip the drink and make a face. God, his rum and Coke recipe needs some work. It's pretty much just rum. The alcohol burns down my throat and heats my belly, spiking my body temperature even more. I'm wearing a short halter dress, which means I can't even shed any items of clothing to battle the sheen of sweat rising on my skin. How are you friends with this crowd? I ask as we leave the kitchen. My dad told me that the hockey and football players at this university have an age-old rivalry.
Not anymore. It ended 3 years ago when the savior arrived at Briar.
Uh-huh. And who was the savior?
Dean.
He answers with a snort.
I'm sure you already know this, but he chases anything in a skirt.
I feign a gasp. Oh my God, are you serious? He chuckles.
Anyway, Once he ran out of puck bunnies to screw in freshman year, he had no choice but to dip into the football groupie pool. He wound up at one of Beau's parties. The two of them recognized the man slut in each other, and they've been friends ever since. Logan slings one arm around me as we walk down a hallway littered with people. Dean dragged me and the guys to a few parties, and we hit it off with the meatheads, too. And yeah, the blood feud was put to rest. I have no clue where we're going, but Logan seems to know the house like the back of his hand. He bypasses several closed doors before leading me through a doorway that opens onto a spacious den. Two massive leather sofas set in an L shape take up the center of the room, facing an entertainment center that's flashing ESPN highlights. There's a pool table behind the larger couch, and a cue-wielding guy with a bushy beard studies the green felt intently while his opponent taunts him about how he's going to miss the shot. I'm surprised by how empty the den is. Only a handful of guys near the pool table, a few couples by the back wall, and two people making out on the couch, Dean and a redhead with huge boobs. Beau Maxwell, who's sprawled in an armchair, watches them with an almost bored expression. The quarterback lifts his head at our entrance. "Logan," he drawls. "How've you been, man?" Logan settles on the couch adjacent to Dean's and pulls me into his lap as if it's the most natural thing in the world. As his arms come around my waist, I notice the flicker of interest in Beau's blue eyes. He actually looks a lot like Logan, I realize, now that I'm seeing him up close and not from the stands of the football stadium. They're both huge, with dark hair, blue eyes, and chiseled features. But there's one major difference. Beau doesn't make my heart pound the way Logan does. Dean and the redhead break apart, their faces flushed as they glance over at us. "Hey," Dean says with a wink, "when did you guys get here?" "Just now," Logan answers. Beau is still eyeing me curiously. "Who's your friend?" he asks Logan.
"This is Grace, my date. Grace, Beau."
The quarterback's gaze does a thorough sweep over my bare legs and thighs, because the way Logan positioned me in his lap caused my dress to ride up, and Beau has definitely noticed.
"Nice to meet you, sweetheart,"
Beau says, a smile curving his lips.
"Gotta say, this is the first time I've seen Logan show up to a party with a date."
"Get used to it," Logan tosses back. "I don't plan on leaving the house without her anymore." Then he kisses my neck, and a shiver races through me. His hand is a solid weight on my hip, keeping me tight to his body, and yep, I'm not imagining it. There's another solid weight beneath me. His very noticeable erection against my ass. Sometimes it still amazes me that I'm the one turning him on. My entire freshman year, all I heard was rumor after rumor about John Logan. He sleeps around, he's a great lay, he doesn't do relationships. So what the heck is he doing dating me? And by dating, I mean dating. We haven't even had sex yet, for God's sake. As I marvel over the knowledge that somehow I managed to land, or maybe tame is the better word, a guy like Logan, the conversation continues around me. Logan and Beau get into an animated debate about drug testing in college sports, though I'm not quite sure how they reach that topic. I'm too busy enjoying the way Logan's fingers absently stroke my hip over my dress. God, I wish he was touching my bare skin. I wish he'd done more than kiss me the other night. I ache for this guy all the fucking time.
There you are.
A girl in a slinky green dress and black combat boots saunters into the den and heads Beau's way.
I was looking everywhere for you.
Too loud out there, he sighs. I think I'm turning into an old man, S. God, baby, Make me feel young again, please.
She laughs and leans down to brush her lips over his cheek.
My pleasure, big boy.
I make an effort not to stare too hard at her, but it's difficult not to. She's got olive-toned skin, bottomless dark eyes, and thick brown hair that cascades down her back. And she's stunning. I don't throw that word around a lot, but there's no other way to describe this girl. Stunning. Not to mention ridiculously seductive. Seriously, she's oozing Scarlett Johansson-level sex appeal, from the way she looks at Beau to the way she moves her hips as she perches on the arm of his chair. Her expression darkens when she notices Dean on the couch.
Richie, she says coolly.
Sabrina,
Dean answers, a derisive gleam in his green eyes. I noticed you actually bothered showing up for class this morning.
Sabrina smirks.
You realized the TA is a dude, huh? You poor thing. Can't fuck your way into a passing grade this semester.
Blow me, Sabrina.
She cocks a brow.
Yeah, pull it out, big boy.
Dean raises a brow of his own.
I should. Maybe having something in your mouth will finally shut you up.
Sabrina throws her head back and laughs.
Oh, Richie, you really think that'll shut me up?
She winks at Beau.
Tell him the kind of noises I make when your dick is in my mouth.
I have no idea what's happening right now. The animosity between Dean and this Sabrina chick is polluting the air, but it fades the moment Beau hauls the gorgeous brunette to her feet.
Excuse us,
he says, and the gleam of arousal in his eyes reveals exactly why he's dragging Sabrina away. Once they're gone, I glance over at Dean with a quizzical look. Why does she call you Richie?
Because she's a fucking bitch,
is his answer, which is no answer at all.
Oh, you look upset, the redhead murmurs to him. Let me help with that.
In the next breath, they've got their tongues in each other's mouths again. I turn to Logan. What just happened?
No fucking idea.
Grinning, he plants a kiss on my lips, then stands and pulls me up with him.
Come on, let's go mingle. I think I saw Hollis and Fitzy around here somewhere.
We leave the den and re-enter the land of the loud and wasted, where Logan introduces me to a few more people before we track down some of his teammates. I'm not having a bad time, not having a great time either, but that's not because of anything Logan says or does. It's because as the party unfolds, I start to notice something that makes me feel prickly. The girls. Lots and lots of girls. Lots and lots of girls who have no problem flirting shamelessly with my date. The attention Logan receives is staggering and really fucking annoying. It's one thing for someone to come over and say hello to him, but these girls don't stop with hello. They rake their manicured fingernails along his bare arm, bat their mascara-thick eyelashes at him, call him baby and hon. One even kisses his cheek. Bitch. I try hard not to let it get to me. I knew going into this that he was popular. I also knew that hooking up had been a sport for him before he'd met me. But that doesn't mean I appreciate having the evidence of his former player days smack me in the face every other second. By the time the ninth chick, yes, I'm keeping count, sashays up to him and gets her flirt on, I've officially had enough. I need to use the ladies' room, I snap. Logan blinks at my sharp tone.
All right. Use the upstairs one. It's usually less crowded.
The fact that he doesn't ask me if I'm okay or offer to walk me upstairs is a tad grating. Gritting my teeth, I stalk out of the living room. In the hall, I duck a group of guys, dodge a girl and guy who are screaming insults and accusations at each other and march up the staircase. I've just reached the top when I hear Logan's voice from behind me.
Grace, wait!
I reluctantly turn around. What is it?
You tell me.
Concerned blue eyes search my face.
You literally cut Sandy off mid-sentence and stormed off.
Oh, no. Poor Sandy, I mutter. Give her my apologies. His eyebrows shoot up.
Okay, what the hell is going on?
Nothing. I'm hit with a rush of embarrassment because my eyes are stinging like I might actually cry. I spin on my heel and walk in the direction of the bathroom. Damn it. He's right. What the hell is going on? I don't know why I'm so pissed off. It's not like he was flirting back. To his credit, he was trying to move away whenever one of those girls came close enough to touch him.
Grace.
His hand lands on my shoulder, tugging me around to face him.
Talk to me, he orders. Why are you upset?
Because I bite the inside of my cheek, hesitating. Then I release an aggravated groan. Have you slept with every girl at this school? Logan looks stricken.
What?
Seriously, John, what the hell? We can't walk 2 feet without some girl coming up to you and fondling you and saying, "Ooh, I had such a good time with you last year, you big stud. We should do that again, wink, wink, nudge, nudge." His mouth falls open. Then understanding dawns and a slow smile stretches his mouth.
Wait, this is about you being jealous?
I bristle. No.
Nuh-uh, you're jealous.
My jaw sets in a tense line. I just don't appreciate all these girls hitting on you when I'm standing right fucking beside you. It's rude and disrespectful and...
Makes you jealous?
He finishes and I feel like smacking that stupid grin off his face. This isn't funny. I attempt to shrug his hand off my arm. But not only does he hold on tighter, he brings his other hand into play, planting both on my waist as he backs me into the wall. Then I've got 6 feet and 200 plus pounds of sexy hockey player pinning me in place. His lips brush mine in a soft kiss before he gazes into my eyes, earnest, amazed.
You have nothing to be jealous of,
he says in a husky voice.
All those girls who came over to us? I don't even remember what they look like. I don't remember half their names. You're the only one I see tonight. The only one I see ever.
Those warm lips touch mine again, firm and reassuring.
P.S. I never hooked up with Sandy.
Liar, I grumble.
It's true.
He grins.
She plays for the other team.
I narrow my eyes. Really?
Oh, yeah. She and her girlfriend came to a party at our place last semester and fooled around on the couch the entire time.
Are you just saying that to make me feel better?
Nope, it's true. Dean thought he'd died and gone to heaven.
A laugh pops out. I find myself relaxing. My previously tense muscles now loose and tingly from the feel of his hard body pressed up against mine. God, I didn't like feeling that way downstairs, prickly and peeved, ready to fight any girl who so much as looked at Logan.
But this is even hotter than watching Sandy and her girl make out all night.
A seductive note thickens his voice. What's hotter?
You? Jealous?
Those blue eyes go molten hot.
I've never been with anyone who's gotten all possessive over me. It turns me on.
He's not joking. His erection is poking into my belly, and the feel of it sends a streak of satisfaction through me. I move my hips, just enough for my pelvis to rub that hard ridge, and his eyelids grow heavy.
That turns me on even more,
he mumbles. I hide a smile. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Trust me, baby. You're the only woman I want, the only one who gets me going.
Raising my eyebrows, I reach up to lock my hands around his neck. I don't know. I'm still jealous. I think you might need to reassure me some more. Chuckling, he tips his head toward the door beside us.
Want me to make you come in the bathroom?
My thighs clench noticeably, and he laughs again.
Is that a yes?
God, no. I lean up to nibble on his neck. It's a hell yes.
Chapter 27. Logan. For the fourth time this week, I skate off the ice after practice wanting to pound my fist through a wall. The sheer lack of skill and common fucking sense I'm seeing from some of the other defensemen is appalling. I'm willing to cut the freshman recruits some slack, but there's no excuse for the way the juniors have played this week. Bradowski literally stood motionless in the defensive zone looking for someone to pass to, and Anderson lobbed pass after pass to covered forwards instead of cross-passing to me or carrying the puck so the forwards had time to get open. The hinge plays we ran were a disaster. The freshmen skated in slow motion. The upperclassmen made stupid mistakes. It's becoming painfully obvious that our roster is weak. So weak that the chances of making it to the postseason are looking slimmer and slimmer. And we haven't even played our first game yet. As I strip my gear in the locker room, I realize I'm not the only one who's frustrated. Far too many surly faces surround me, and even Garrett is surprisingly silent. As team captain, he tries to offer encouragement after every practice, but he's clearly starting to get discouraged by the dismal state of our team. The only guy who's actually smiling is the new kid, Hunter, who received so much praise from coach for his performance today that he's going to be shitting out lollipops and kittens for weeks to come. I have no clue how Dean managed to convince the guy to join the team. All I know is that my buddy dragged Hunter to the bar one night after tryouts, and the next morning, the kid was on board. Must have been some night out. Logan, coach appears in front of me. Come talk to me after your shower. Shit. I quickly search my brain for anything I could have done wrong on the ice. But I'm not being arrogant when I say I played well. Dean and I were the only ones even trying out there. When I enter coach's office 30 minutes later, he's at his desk, wearing a somber look that heightens my agitation. Fuck. Was it the dropped pass at the start of practice? No, can't be. Not even Gretzky himself could have held onto the puck with 200 pounds of Mike Hollis ramming him into the boards. What's up? I sit down, trying not to reveal how rattled I am. Let's cut right to the chase. You know I don't like to waste time on preamble. Coach Jensen leans back in his chair. I spoke to a friend in the Bruins organization this morning. Every muscle in my body freezes up. Oh, who? The assistant GM. My eyes nearly bug out of their sockets. I knew Coach had connections. Of course he does. He was in Pittsburgh for 7 seasons, for fuck's sake. But when he said friend, I assumed he meant a lower-level minion in the head office. Not the assistant general manager. Look, it's no secret you've been on the radar of every scout since your high school career. And you already know I've had inquiries about you before. Anyway, if you're interested, they want you to come in and practice with the Providence Bruins. Jesus Christ. They want me to practice with the development team for the Boston fucking Bruins? I can barely wrap my head around it. All I can do is stare at Coach. They'd want me for Providence? Maybe. When they're interested in taking a look at you, they don't usually put you on the ice with the big boys. They test you out with the minor team first. See how you do. His voice rings with intensity I rarely hear off the ice. You're good, John. You're really fucking good. Even if they choose to develop you in Providence first, it won't be long before you're called up and playing on the roster you deserve to be on. Christ, this can't be happening. I'm in the Garden of fucking Eden, salivating over that goddamn apple. The temptation is so strong I can taste the victory. This isn't just a pro team holding out the apple. It's the team, the one I grew up rooting for, the one I've fantasized about playing for since I was 7 years old. Coach studies my face. With that said, I wanted to check if you've reconsidered your plans after graduation. My throat goes drier than dust. My heart races. I want to shout, "Yes, I've reconsidered," but I can't. I made a promise to my brother, and as big of an opportunity as this is, it's not big enough. Jeff won't be impressed if I announce I'm going to be playing for a farm team. Nothing short of a plum contract with the Bruins will convince him to let me have this. And even then, he'd probably still balk. No, I haven't. It kills me to say it. It kills me. From the frustration shadowing Coach's eyes, I can tell he senses that. "Look, John," he speaks in a measured tone, "I understand why you didn't opt in. I really do. Other than my brother, and now Garrett, Coach is the only other person who knows I didn't enter the draft. In that first eligible year, I pretended I'd missed the deadline to declare, which led to Coach dragging me into this very office and screaming at me for 45 minutes about what an irresponsible idiot I am and how I'm wasting my God-given talents. Once he calmed down, he started muttering about calling in favors to try to make me eligible, at which point I had no choice but to tell him the truth. Well, some of the truth. I told him about my dad's accident, but not the drinking. Since then, he hasn't harassed me about it. Until now." "But this is your future we're talking about," he finishes gruffly. "If you pass this up, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life, kid. I guarantee it." "Yeah, no guarantee needed. I know I'll regret it. Hell, I already regret a lot of things. But family comes first, and my word means something. To me, to Jeff, I can't go back on it now, no matter how tempting this is. Thanks for letting me know, Coach. And please thank your friend for me." I swallow a lump of despair as I slowly rise to my feet. But my answer is no.
"Are you sure this is what you want?"
Grace's soft voice and timid expression make my chest ache. I don't know why she bothered asking me that, because obviously this is the last thing I want to do. It's what I have to do. Although I went straight to her dorm after practice and wasted no time telling her about my talk with Coach, now I'm kind of wishing I kept it to myself. I told her about my plans for the future a few days after we started dating, but even though she hasn't said it out loud, I know she disagrees with them. "I didn't want to say no," I say roughly, "but I have to. My brother expects me to move back home the moment I graduate.
What about your dad? What does he expect?"
I lean my head against the stack of decorative pillows on her bed. They smell like her, sweet and feminine, a soothing fragrance that relaxes some of the tension wedged in my chest. "He expects us to help him run his business because he can't do it himself. That's what family does. You pitch in when you're needed. You take care of each other," she frowns.
"At the expense of your dreams?"
"If it comes down to that, yes." This entire conversation is too dismal, so I tug her toward me. "Come on, let's put on the movie. I need some explosions and gunfights to distract me from my misery." Grace grabs her laptop and gets the movie ready, but when she tries to place the computer between us, I shift it to my lap so there's no barrier to keep her from snuggling beside me. I love holding her, and playing with her hair, and leaning in to kiss her neck whenever the urge strikes. I haven't been in a relationship since high school, but being with Grace is different than it was with my old girlfriends. It feels more mature, I guess. Back then, we just talked about trivial bullshit and filled in the silences by fooling around. But Grace and I actually talk. We talk about our days and our classes, our childhoods, our futures. Talking isn't all we do, though. I've seen her almost every day since our first date, and we've messed around every single time. Christ, that bathroom hookup at Beau's party? Out of this fucking world. And she hadn't even touched me. I jerked off when I was down on my knees eating her pussy. And sweet Jesus, I can't remember ever coming that hard from my own hand. But we haven't had sex yet, and I don't even care. It used to be all about the quick gratification for me. Flirt, fuck, get out. Like a game of ball hockey back in middle school. Hurriedly played between the time school let out and when my mother would call me in for supper. With Grace, it's like three periods of real hockey. The anticipation and excitement of the first period, the escalating buildup of the second, and the sheer intensity of the third that results in that euphoric knowledge of having achieved something. A win, a loss, a tie, doesn't matter. It's still the most powerful feeling in the world. If I had to identify it, I'd say we're in the second period now. The buildup. Hot hookup sessions that leave me aching. But none of the third period pressure to seal the deal. 20 minutes into the film, she turns to me suddenly. Hey, question. I click the trackpad to press pause. Hit me. Am I your girlfriend? I give her my creepiest leer. I don't know, baby. Do you want to be? Amusement dances in her brown eyes. Well, now I don't. Grinning, I lean over the edge of the bed to set the laptop on the floor, then shift around and pounce on her. She squeals as I get her on her back, my body pressed to her side as I prop up on one elbow and peer down at her. Liar, I accuse. Of course you want to be my girlfriend. And FYI, you are. Her expression grows pensive for a moment, and then she nods. I can live with that. Aw, how generous of you, baby. We should silkscreen it on matching t-shirts. I can live with that. Her laughter floats up and tickles my chin. I love her laugh. It's so fucking genuine. Everything about her is genuine. I've hooked up with too many chicks who play games, who say one thing and mean another, who lie or manipulate to get what they want. But not Grace. She's open and sincere. And when she's pissed off or annoyed, she tells me. I appreciate that. I dip my head to kiss her, and when our tongues meet, a jolt of pleasure zips down to my cock, which thickens against her leg. I nudge my hips forward, and just that tiny amount of friction makes me groan. God, I want to come. She's gotten me there twice this week, once jacking me off, the other time using her mouth. On the nights that orgasms weren't on the table, I jerked it in the shower, imagining I was fucking her instead of my fist. But self-gratification is nothing compared to what she's doing right now, when she unzips my pants and wraps her fingers around me. My eyes roll to the top of my head at that first gentle stroke. When is Daisy coming home? I mumble. At least not for another hour. She rubs a slow circle around the head of my dick. Pre-cum coats her fingers, making it easy to glide her fist up and down my shaft. I thrust my hips and kiss her, one hand traveling up her stomach to cup a small, firm breast. She's not wearing a bra, and her nipples strain against the soft cotton of her tank top. I rub my palm over the tight bud, tease it with the pad of my thumb, then press down on it, drawing a breathy noise from her lips. I'm so hard I can't think straight. It's unbearable, this need for release. My breathing becomes shallow as I let go of her breast and slide my hand lower, inching toward the waistband of her yoga pants. She breaks the kiss, stiffening beneath my touch. Color stains her cheeks. I'm closed for business tonight. It's my moon time. I choke out a laugh. Your moon time? What? She says defensively. It sounds a lot more whimsical than I'm menstruating. I cringe, instantly transported back to those awkward moments in sex ed class. See? She gloats. My way is better. Then she swats my hand away from her crotch and plants both hands on my chest, giving me a gentle shove. Lie back. I want to tease you a little. Christ. Tease me she does. She drags my shirt up and explores every inch of my chest with her mouth. Soft lips plant fleeting kisses along my collarbone, then dance over my left pec, hovering above my nipple and bringing goosebumps to my flesh. Her tongue darts out for a taste, and I feel that tiny flick on my nipple all the way down in my cock. It throbs painfully, and I'm damn near squirming. I want her mouth on me again. I want her to suck on the tip, just a hint of suction, and then the swirl of her tongue. I want, Jesus, she's kissing her way down my stomach, giving me exactly what I want. I swear, this girl can read my mind. Her lips close around me, her tongue executing that sexy swirl I was fantasizing about. I must have made some kind of noise, because she peers up with a satisfied smile.
You okay up there?
Fuck. Yes. I'm more than okay.
Question,
she says. And now I'm smiling too, because I love it when she does that. Announces she's about to ask a question instead of just asking it. I answer with my standard. Hit me.
How do you feel about your ass?
My brow furrows. Meaning?
Meaning, if I do this.
Her finger slides over a spot I was not expecting her to touch.
Are you gonna freak out or go with it?
She does it again, and I'm stunned when a shock of pleasure skates up my spine. Go with it, I croak. Definitely go with it. Grace's eyes flicker with equal parts surprise and intrigue. Then she lowers her head and sucks me deep in her mouth. Another unexpected move that blurs my vision. Sweet Jesus. I'm completely surrounded by tight, wet heat. My blunt head pokes the back of her throat, and my hips move before I can stop them, retreating an inch, two, before sliding back in. Her moan reverberates around me. Her finger continues to torment me. Gentle and exploratory, coaxing a strange ache of pleasure I hadn't bargained for. Jesus, this is fucking intense, and it doesn't stop. She tortures me with her tongue, licking my shaft slowly, thoroughly, like she's a goddamn cartographer who's planning to map it out later. And that finger, rubbing, teasing. My balls tighten, my throat so dry I can barely get a word out. But I manage two. I'm close. Then two more. Really close. The last time she did this, she didn't stay with me until the end. This time, she clamps her lips around me, her long hair tickling my thighs as her head moves over me. Release is imminent, pulsing in my blood, but still out of reach, a taunting throb of tension that makes me groan with impatience. I want it. I need it. She slips her finger inside, and holy shit. I ain't gonna lie. It feels so fucking good. She gives my dick a long, hard suck, pushes her finger deeper, and I go off like a grenade. I gasp for air, my hips shooting off the bed as I come to the sounds of her moans and my ragged pants. Her throat works as she swallows, each tiny contraction milking more pleasure from my body, until I'm nothing but a heaving, mindless mess on the bed. Grace crawls up and nestles beside me, placing her hand on my stomach, a small, warm anchor that keeps me from floating away. That was, I suck in a breath, phenomenal. Her laughter warms the crook of my neck. I'll make a note of that. Ass shenanigans, phenomenal. Regular shenanigans, what did you call it last time? Just amazing, I think. Everything you do for me is both amazing and phenomenal, I correct, threading my fingers through her hair. I don't think I've ever felt so content in my life. Hey, question.
Hit me.
I grin at the role reversal, then say, my first preseason game is tomorrow night. I know you don't like hockey, but will you come?
Oh, I would if I could,
she answers, sounding genuinely regretful.
But I'm meeting up with this guy from my psych class.
I shift to my side and narrow my eyes at her. Something strange and unfamiliar slinks through me. I'm startled to realize it's jealousy. What guy? She snickers.
Down boy. He's just a classmate. We're paired up on an assignment together. This case study thing. I'm going to be seeing him a whole bunch the next couple of weeks.
A whole bunch, huh? I pause. Is he good looking?
He's all right, I guess. Really skinny. But some girls are into that.
Some girls? Or one in particular? When she notices my expression, she laughs even harder.
Ha! Who's jealous now?
Not me, I lie.
You totally are.
She inches closer and plants a loud kiss on my lips.
Don't be. I have a boyfriend, remember?
Damn right you do. Fuck. Now I know how she felt at the party the other night. The possessive clench in my chest is new. I don't like it, but I can't stop it either. I've been playing the field since I started at Briar, but there were a few hookups that lasted more than one night. Girls I saw on and off, not seriously, but often enough to develop some feelings for them. None of those arrangements were exclusive, though. I was well aware that they were seeing other guys, too, and I didn't care. This time I do care. The idea of Grace with another guy is unacceptable. I won't go as far as to say she's mine, but, well, she's mine. Mine to hold and mine to kiss and mine to laugh with. Yep, mine.
What time is it?
She asks. I'm too lazy to lift my head. I crane my neck to get a better look at the alarm clock. 10:32.
Should we finish watching the movie?
Sure. I lean over to grab the laptop, which chimes loudly the moment I pick it up. Someone's Skyping you, I think. She peeks at the screen, then shoots up in a panic.
Oh no, put your pants on.
I wrinkle my forehead. Why?
Because that's my mother.
If I'd still had an erection, it would be deflating like a balloon right now. I hurriedly yank my pants to my hips and zip them up as Grace sets the computer in her lap. Her fingers hover over the trackpad, and then she looks over at me.
Move 10 inches to the left if you don't want her to see you.
Do you not want her to see me? Grace rolls her eyes.
I'm cool if she does. Actually, she knows all about you, so you should totally say hi. But I understand if you don't want to do the whole meet the parents thing right now.
I shrug. I'm cool with it.
Okay then, brace yourself. She's about to deafen us both with
a shriek of delight. The loudest frickin' shriek on the planet. Fortunately, her voice lowers to a manageable decibel when she speaks.
Sweetie! Yay! You answered!
The video chat box fills the screen, revealing a very attractive blonde who seems way too young to be the mother of a 19-year-old. Seriously, Grace's mother looks like she's 30, if that.
Hey, Mom, Grace says. Do I even want to know why you're awake at 5:30 in the morning?
Her mother's answering grin is downright devilish.
Who says I even went to bed?
Grace told me that her mother is bubbly and impulsive and pretty much acts like a teenager, and I can see now that she hadn't exaggerated. My girlfriend groans.
Please tell me you stayed up painting and not doing other things. I take the fifth. Mom, I'm 44 years old, sweetie. Do you expect me to live like a monk?
44. Wow. Totally doesn't look like it. Also, I can't stop the snicker that pops out at her breezy response, which causes her brown eyes to narrow.
Grace Elizabeth Ivers, is there a man sitting beside you? I thought that big lump was your blanket. But that's someone's shoulder, her mom gasps. Identify yourself, sir.
Grinning, I scoot closer so the camera can see my face. Evening, Mrs. Ivers. Or morning, I guess.
Mrs. Ivers lives in Florida. Call me Josie.
I swallow a laugh. Josie. I'm Logan. Another gasp.
The Logan? Yes, Mom. The Logan.
Grace confirms with a sigh. Josie looks from me to Grace, then puts on a stern face.
Sweetie, I'd like a moment alone with Mr. Logan. Go take a walk or something.
My alarmed gaze flies to Grace, who looks like she's trying not to laugh.
Hey, you said it was cool,
she murmurs. Then she plants a kiss on my cheek.
I've got to pee anyway. You two go nuts.
Panic fills my gut as my girlfriend hops off the bed and literally abandons me, leaving me at her mother's mercy. Fucking hell. I should have hid when I had the chance. The moment Grace leaves the room, Josie says,
Is she gone?
Yep, I gulp.
Good. Don't worry, kid, I'll be quick. And I'm only going to say this once, so you'd better listen carefully. Gracie told me she was giving you another chance, and I fully supported that decision.
Josie peers into the camera, her expression glittering with menace.
With that said, if you break my daughter's heart, I will hop on the first plane out of here, show up at your door, and beat you to death with a pillowcase full of soap bars.
Despite the terrified shiver evoked by the threat, I can't stop the laugh that flies out of my throat. Jesus, that's a very specific form of violence. But when I answer, the humor is gone and my voice is gruff. I won't break her heart, I promise.
Good. Glad that's settled.
And I swear this woman has multiple personalities, because in the blink of an eye, she's Susie Sunshine again.
Now tell me all about yourself, Logan. What's your major? When's your birthday? What's your favorite color?
Swallowing another wave of laughter, I indulge her random questions, which she spits out in rapid fire. I don't mind, though. Grace's mother is hilarious, and it only takes a few seconds to figure out where Grace got her sense of humor and tendency to babble incoherently. 3 minutes into the chat, Josie's phone rings. She says she needs to take it and promises she'll ping us right back, and then the screen goes black. I'm about to put down the laptop, but when I hear footsteps nearing the door, I suddenly have an idea. AKA, the perfect payback for Grace's desertion. Just as the door opens, I look intently at the screen and act like I'm still chatting with her mother. And she stuck her finger in my ass when she was blowing me, which was fucking incredible. I never thought I'd enjoy having anything up there, but Grace screams in horror.
Oh my God!
She dives onto the bed and grabs the laptop.
Mom, don't listen to him! He's just joking!
She stops abruptly, blinking at the screen before turning to glare at me.
You are such an asshole.
I curl over with laughter, which only makes her angrier. And soon she's batting at me with her teeny fists, as if they'll actually do any damage.
You're the worst,
she yells, but she's giggling even as she pounds those futile fists at me.
I actually thought you told her that.
That was the point. I howl in laughter, then roll us both over so she's on her back and I'm looming over her. Sorry, couldn't help myself. Grace reaches up and flicks my forehead.
Jerk.
My jaw drops. Did you just flick me? She flicks me again. Did you just flick me again? Now she's the one howling, because I'm tickling the shit out of her. And as she squirms on the bed and tries to escape my relentless fingers, I reach several conclusions. One, I've never had more fun with a girl in my entire life. Two, I never want this to end. And three, I think I might be falling in love with her.
Chapter 28, Grace. He just showed up in the middle of your study session? Ramona looks highly amused as she reaches for her coffee. This is the first time I've seen her since our awkward meeting at the beginning of the month, and I'm surprised by how comfortable it feels. There haven't been any lags in the conversation, no bitterness on my part, and she seems genuinely interested in what's been going on in my life. Yep, I answer, pretending he was dropping off coffee for me, but we both knew that was bullshit. Ramona grins. So, John Logan is the jealous type. Honestly, not a shocker. Hockey players are wired with aggression. They're these big alpha dudes going all caveman when someone tries to steal the puck from them. Am I the puck in this scenario? Pretty much, yeah. I roll my eyes. Well, screw that. If anything, I'm the one who should be jealous. Do you realize how many girls throw themselves at him? It happens all the time, even when I'm with him. We did have one incredibly satisfying run-in, though. I pause for effect. We bumped into Piper at the theater in Hastings. Ramona gasps. Ooh, shit! What did she say? Satisfaction surges through me. At first, she was super sweet, but that's probably because she didn't notice I was there. She flirted with him, but it was obvious he wasn't reciprocating, so she started talking about hockey instead, and then suddenly she realized I was with him and not just standing near him, and it was like she'd walked into a serial killer's dungeon. Pure horror. Ramona snickers. Logan introduced me as his girlfriend, and I swear she looked ready to murder me. I'm gleefully vindictive as I recount the tale. Then she huffed off and went to join her friends. Who was she with? Some chicks I didn't recognize. I pause. And Maya, who, by the way, didn't even say hello to me. That doesn't seem to surprise Ramona. Maya thinks you hate her, she admits. You know, for her role in the whole Twitter thing. I don't hate her. Shrugging, I take a bite of my chocolate banana muffin. But I have no desire to hang out with her either. We have nothing in common. I don't miss the way Ramona winces as if the accusation had been directed at her, but that wasn't my intention. The two of us had a lot of fun together. One time in high school, we'd stayed up talking for an entire night. I don't even remember what we talked about, just that it went on forever. Sorrow twines around my insides. I miss that. Other than Daisy, I haven't made any female friends this semester. And although Daisy and I are close, we're nowhere near as close as Ramona and I used to be. As if reading my mind, her voice softens. I miss you, Gracie. I really miss you. My heart clenches. I miss you, too, but... But what? I don't trust you. I haven't forgiven you. I'm not sure how I feel about our friendship, and I'm not ready to dissect it yet. But I think it's better if we keep doing the slow thing, I finish. Then I paced on an encouraging smile. So what have you been up to? How are your classes? She spends a few minutes telling me about her drama courses and some parties she went to, but there's a shadow in her eyes that concerns me. Her voice lacks the carefree pitch I'm used to hearing, and even her appearance feels a bit off. Her eye makeup is thicker. Her top is tighter than usual, breasts practically hanging out of it. Awful as it sounds, she looks washed up and trashy. In the past, she could pull off trashy no problem and make it sexy because she had the confidence to back it up. But right now, her swagger is noticeably absent. The conversation switches to our families, and we end up staying at the coffee hut for another 40 minutes. Catching each other up on what our parents have been up to and laughing about their antics. When I announce I need to get to class, her smile fades, but she simply nods and stands up. We toss our empty cups in the waste bin, hug goodbye, and go our separate ways. Watching her walk away with her shoulders hunched and her hands in the pockets of her jeans tugs at my heart. Am I a shitty friend for continuing to keep her at a distance? I honestly don't know anymore. I debate the issue as I walk along the cobblestone path toward the lecture hall of the film theory course I'm taking as an elective this semester. I'm climbing the steps of the ivy-covered building when my phone rings. It's Logan. I stifle a sigh as I press the button to answer, hoping he's not calling to apologize again for yesterday's coffee stunt. I still haven't decided if his showing up during my study session with my psych partner was annoying, cute, or both. He ended up coming back later that night, and we had a long talk about trusting each other, and I think we managed to reach an understanding about boundaries. Hey, gorgeous. Good. I caught you before you went into class. The sound of his husky voice makes me smile. Hey, what's up? I wanted to run something by you. Turns out Dean and Tuck are going to a concert in Boston Saturday night, and they decided to make a weekend out of it, getting a hotel room for a couple nights and all that. And Garrett is staying with Hannah until Sunday, so... He pauses and I can practically envision the blush on his cheeks. One thing I never expected, Logan blushes when he's nervous, and it's frickin' adorable.
I thought maybe you'd want to spend the weekend with me?
Excitement ripples through me. Nerves, too, but not a crazy amount. We've been an official couple for almost 3 weeks, and not once has Logan pushed me to have sex. He hasn't even brought it up, actually, which I find both perplexing and reassuring. And he's quick to offer that reassurance again, adding,
"No expectations, by the way. I'm not inviting you to, like, a 3-day fuckfest or anything."
I snort. My boyfriend, ever the wordsmith.
"I'll even throw out all the condoms in the house if you want, you know, to eliminate temptation."
I choke down a laugh. "That's very thoughtful of you." His voice thickens.
"I just want to fall asleep with you and wake up with you and go down on you if you're in the mood for a John Logan orgasm."
The laugh flies out and he gives an answering one that slides into my ear and makes me lightheaded. "I would love to stay over this weekend," I say firmly. "Oh, but I just remembered. I'm supposed to have dinner with my dad on Sunday night. Would you be able to drop me off at his house around 6?
"No problem."
There's a beat.
"You're not going to tell him where you spent the weekend, are you?"
I blanch. God, of course not. I don't want to give him a heart attack. He still tries to tie my shoelaces for me sometimes. Logan chuckles.
"I'm hitting up the grocery store tomorrow. Is there anything special you want me to pick up? Snacks? Ice cream?"
"Ooh, yes. Ice cream. Mint chocolate chip."
"Done. Anything else?"
"No, but I'll text you if I think of something." My heart races faster than it should, considering we're just talking about a weekend visit. It's not like we're eloping, for God's sake. Yet my entire body is crackling with anticipation, because 3 uninterrupted days with Logan sounds like absolute heaven.
"So I'll swing by and grab you after your last class tomorrow? You're done around 5, right?"
"Yep."
"Okay. I'll text when I'm on my way. Later, gorgeous."
"Logan?" I blurt out before he can hang up.
"Yeah?"
I take a deep breath. "Don't throw out the condoms." Chapter 29. Grace. It's Friday night. Logan and I are tangled up together on his living room couch, about to watch a horror movie he chose off the film channel on his TV. When we got back from dinner at the fish and chips place in Hastings, I figured we'd go upstairs and rip each other's clothes off, you know, so I could give him my flower, as my mother would say. Instead, he surprised me by suggesting a movie. I suspect he's trying not to seem over-eager, but the heated glances he keeps casting my way tell me he wants it as much as I do. Still, I'm not against taking it slow, letting the tension build, the anticipation simmer. "I can't believe this is what you chose," I complain as the opening credits flash on the screen.
"You told me I could pick," he protests.
"Yeah, because I thought you'd pick something good." I glare at the television. I can already tell this is going to make me angry.
"Wait, angry?"
He shoots me a baffled look.
"I thought you were bitching because you didn't want to be scared."
"Scared? Why would I be scared?"
Laughter bubbles out of his throat. "Because it's a scary movie. A ghost is killing people in gruesome ways, Grace."
I roll my eyes. Horror movies don't scare me. They piss me off because the characters are always so freaking stupid. They make the worst decisions possible, and we're supposed to feel sorry for them when they die? No way.
"Maybe these characters will be smart, level-headed adults who do everything right but still get killed,"
he points out. "There's a ghost in the house, and they choose to stay there. The level-headed response? Leave!" He tugs on a strand of my hair, his tone taking on a chastising note.
"Just you wait," There's going to be a good reason for why they can't leave the house. I'll bet you $5.
You're on. We settle in for the movie, Logan on his back, and me snuggled up beside him with my head on his chest. He strokes my hair as the first scene fills the screen. It's an incredibly unscary cold open involving a busty blonde, an unseen malevolent force, and a scalding shower. The blonde meets her grisly end by burning alive. The evil spirit, of course, has ghosted the water temperature. Logan tries to give me a high five after the death scene, which I refuse to reciprocate because I actually feel bad for the girl. Kudos to her. The only decision she makes is to take a shower, and who can fault her for that? The movie unfolds in the most predictable way. A group of college students conduct paranormal experiments in the ghost house, and then, bam, the first one dies. Here it comes, I say gleefully. The level-headed reason for why they stay in the house.
Watch, the ghost won't leave them.
Logan guesses. He guesses wrong. On the screen, the characters argue about whether they should go, and one of the girls announces, "We're doing important work here, guys. We're proving the existence of paranormal entities. Science needs this. Science needs us." I burst out laughing, shuddering against Logan's rock-hard chest. "Did you hear that, Johnny? Science needs them."
"I fucking hate you," he grumbles.
$5, I say in a sing-song voice. His hand slides down to pinch my butt, making me squeak in surprise.
"Go ahead and gloat. You win the battle by getting $5 out of me, but I win the war."
I sit up. "How do you figure?"
"Because you still have to sit through the rest of this movie and you're gonna hate every second of it. I, on the other hand, am enjoying it immensely."
The jerk is absolutely right. Unless, as he refocuses his attention on the movie, I nestle close again, only this time I don't rest my hand on the center of his chest. I plant it lower, mere inches from the waistband of the sweatpants he changed into after dinner. He doesn't seem to notice. He's too engrossed in the movie. Huh, he won't be for long. With the utmost nonchalance, I drag my hand to where the hem of his white wife-beater has ridden up slightly. Then I sneak my fingers beneath it and lightly stroke the hard plane of his stomach, and his breath hitches. Fighting a smile, I flatten my palm and stop moving it. After a moment, he relaxes. On the screen, the idiot troop of paranormal experts attempts to record the spirit's voice using a contraption right out of Ghostbusters. I scoot up and kiss Logan's neck. He tenses, and then a chuckle escapes his lips, low and mocking.
"Won't work, baby."
"What won't work?" I ask innocently.
"What you're trying to do right now?"
"Mm-hmm, I'm sure it won't." I tease him with soft kisses on the side of his neck, angling my body so he'll be sure to feel the heat of my pussy against his thigh. God, pussy. I'm even starting to think like him now. He's corrupted me with the dirty words he whispers when we fool around, and I like it. I like the thrill of being bold and wanton, and I love the way his warm flesh quivers when I taste him with my tongue. His head is turned toward the screen, but I know he's no longer paying attention to the movie. The bulge in his sweatpants grows, hardens into a long, thick ridge that pushes up against the fabric. I kiss his throat, feeling the strong tendon straining, his Adam's apple fluttering beneath my lips. When he speaks, his voice is so raspy it sends a shiver through me.
"Do you want to go upstairs?"
I lift my head and meet his eyes. They're heavy-lidded, hazy. I nod. He doesn't shut off the movie. He just hops to his feet, pulls me up with him, and leads me upstairs, holding my hand the entire time. His bedroom is a lot tidier than the last time I saw it. The night I showed up to yell at him for that stunt with Morris. God, it feels like a lifetime ago. We stand 2 feet apart. He doesn't move. Doesn't touch me. He simply stares, with what can only be described as wonder shining in his eyes.
You're so beautiful.
Hardly. I'm wearing faded jeans and a loose striped shirt that keeps falling over one shoulder, and my hair is a tousled mess because it was insanely windy outside earlier. I know I don't look beautiful, but the way he's gazing at me, I feel it. I reach for the bottom of my shirt, then pull it over my head and let it fall to the ground. His nostrils flare when my skimpy bikini-style bra is revealed. Holding his gaze, I bring my hands behind my back and undo the tiny clasp, and then the bra falls away too. Logan sucks in a breath. He's seen my breasts before. He's seen me naked, actually. But the hunger in his eyes, the glittering admiration, it's like he's looking at me for the first time. I wiggle out of my jeans and panties and approach him with confidence that startles me. I should be nervous, but I'm not. My hands are steady as I tug his wife beater off him. God, his bare chest never fails to make me lightheaded. It's sculpted, masculine, so fucking perfect. He doesn't say a word when I ease his sweatpants down. He's not wearing boxers. His erection juts out, hard and imposing, and when I curl my fingers around it, he makes a desperate noise at the back of his throat. But he still doesn't touch me. His arms remain plastered to his sides, and he stands completely motionless. I don't think he's even blinking. Is there a reason your hands aren't all over me right now? I tease.
I'm trying to go slow, he says miserably. If I touch you, I won't be able to stop, and then I'll be inside you and...
I shut him up with a firm kiss, locking my hands at the nape of his neck. That's kind of the point, you getting inside me. Then I nibble on his bottom lip, and just like that, the thread of control he was clinging to snaps like an elastic band. Growling against my lips, he backs me toward the bed, his strong body pressed tight to mine, his erection trapped between us. My calves bump the edge of the bed frame, and I tumble backward with a screech, pulling him down with me. We land on the bed with a thud that makes us laugh. The sheets smell like lemon laundry detergent, clean and inviting, and the fragrance, mingled with the heady male scent of him, succeeds in fogging my brain. His body ripples with urgency as he kisses me again. He was right to warn me.